This is the Don and Mike Show.
What do you think about the relationship between our country and Kazakhstan because of the movie? How will it be affected?
I hope that will very much improve. I hope your companies of Walmart and Nike will come and put their factories in Kazakhstan, where we have hardest working 7-year-olds in whole of world. Please, let's get drunk. Let's drink our vodka.
Before you get too celebratory here, you got... You're going up against James Bond in a couple of weeks at the box office.
Whoa, and by the way, the Daniel, new one.
And Daniel
yes.
Craig is here today. You're a fan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meet this new James Bond, Mr. Roger Moore.
Yes. No.
We will wrestle with him. Yes.
Daniel
you
Craig.
Want to drink?
No.
You could be in 2,500 theaters on Friday. That's what I'm understanding. You have the potential to be a very, very wealthy man. Very well said.
The money, we have made a deal with anti-communist organization Fox, where if we are number one, they will give us 250 lean mean grill machines.
Yes.
I am going to buy myself a new doorbell for my house. Yes, so my neighbor Nusultan Turyakba is jealous.
Congratulations again.
Yeah.
Come back after
only
a couple
in America,
of weeks.
Borat.
I want to celebrate tonight. Matt, can you recommend any good prostitute? Yes. He tell me you are the one to ask. Bye-bye.
The Don and Mike Show. Get ready for Ding Dong and Goat Screw, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, so we're crazy about the movie Borat.
Oh, yeah, everybody is.
Very nice.
I'm thinking, poor Will Ferrell. He's finally got a movie coming out where he doesn't just show his big, meaty stomach and ass.
Right.
He's got that movie that's almost a thinking man's comedy coming out this weekend.
Right.
And it's just his goddamn luck. It's going up against Borat going open wide this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult. Yeah. I think Borat's going to explode this
weekend. If you've seen Borat, at this point we just have to assume if you've not seen it, you know, tough teats. I mean, we're going to talk about it. Joining us now is Jim Sell. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for joining us now. Jim is in the Borat movie. Jim works at Criswell Hummer in Maryland.
Jim, that's a good name for a guy that sells cars, Jim Sell.
Believe it or not, that's my born name, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
Now, Jim, you are great in the movie. Your scene is where Borat goes to look at cars is among the funniest. How did they approach you when they wanted to make the movie and have you sign a release? What is the setup that they gave you on this guy?
Well, what happened is back in June of 2005, the producer apparently walked through our showroom during the afternoon and must have handpicked me out, because about 4:15 I got a phone call from the producer, who said his name was Todd Lewis from Number One American Productions.
So that's he goes by the name of that's the name they give you, Todd Lewis from Number One American Productions.
That's how he presented himself to me over the phone.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And he said, "We're doing a film, a documentary of a gentleman coming to this country, and he's going to be traveling from New York City to Malibu."
Documentary.
And what we want to do is he's going to be coming to our dealership, and they want to actually film the negotiating process of him looking at several cars and possibly buying a car and traveling across the country in it.
Now, at that point, do you say, yeah, that's no problem at all? And do they tell you they have paperwork to have you signed? Yeah, I mean, obviously, do you have to sign paperwork before or after the fact?
What they did the following morning when they showed up, he called me. He said, "We're running early. Do you mind if we come in early?" I said, "That's no problem." I said, "Come on in." He got there with the filming crew and the sound crew before the gentleman from the foreign country got there.
Right.
And they said, "Hey, you know, we're going to put a wire on you, and we want to actually take some pictures. He'll be here shortly, and first we want to film you sitting at your desk here at Criswell, and when he gets here, we want you to come out and meet him and possibly sell him a car."
Yeah, is the whole auto dealership like a buzz at this? Is everybody kind of going, "Hey, man, this is great," or are they not paying attention to it? Or how big a deal is this to the dealership and everybody else that works there? A dealership's got people running around all over the place.
Yeah, they do, and they're kind of excited about it. They're more excited about it than I am, to tell you the truth.
Now, when they got there, and don't feel bad about this, because everybody got suckered in by this guy.
Right.
He's got the outrageous, you know.
Very nice.
That whole thing. He's got the suit. At any time, I mean, you were like everybody else. You just thought he was a crazy guy from Russia, right?
Well, when I walked up to him, and when I come out the side door of the Chevrolet, because I'm down the Chevrolet building, and when I come out, when I walked up to him, he was at the end of the driveway. For some reason, they didn't want him coming into the dealership. They wanted me to come out and meet him out there. And I guess for the reason being is they didn't want anybody to recognize him and spoil their stint. So when I walked up to meet him, I put my hand out to shake hands with him. He's wearing his light blue sport coat and black high-top tennis shoes. And I put my hand out to shake hands with him, and he leans over and kisses my cheeks.
All the cheeks, right.
I mean, which is kind of weird to me, but I thought maybe in his country it's custom to.
Right.
So he hands me a pen. He says, "This is a gift from my country to you." And on one side is the American flag on the pen. The other side is like a KKK flag.
So, I mean, this is subtle stuff you don't even see in the movie that he's doing this thing. And are you taking it back as soon as you look at this pen or what? What do you make of this guy?
I just put the pen in my pocket and just glanced at it real quick.
Now, did you think that you were actually, they said they wanted to film a negotiation, but did you think that during this, that you were actually going to make a sale out of this, that you might get a sale?
The way they presented it to me before he got there is that he was from this other country and the film was going to be shown in this other country. And what they said is the guy has plenty of money, he can buy any kind of vehicle he wants.
Okay.
And so they put this release in front of me, and then in the meantime, they hand me $150 and putting a release in front of me at the same time and said, "This is just a standard release, go ahead and sign here."
All right, so Jim, now...
Oh,
now,
God, how many pages was it?
It was like about 1.5 pages.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so Jim, now the question is, the movie's out, I'm guessing you've seen it, and I hope you think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I went to see it up in Hagerstown with some friends of mine, and I was nervous till I seen what was actually shown.
You had no advance notice. They didn't give you a copy. They didn't say, "Hey, you're in this movie."
No.
I mean, you signed that release. You took that $150, and bam, that the last you heard of him, right? And then now you're going to see the movie.
Well, what happened is he was at the dealership between 2 and 3 hours filming, and there's a lot of stuff that they filmed that they didn't put in the movie. Some of the things that he said that I thought were actually, just you wouldn't believe some of the things that he said.
I think we would.
Shocking.
We probably would. So when you went to see yourself in it, and everybody's laughing, and fortunately for you, at least you weren't like the guy in Texas who said, like, you know, "We hate homos" and stuff like that. You were just... A car dealer.
Yeah, I mean, you were just being very accommodating.
Dealing with a crazy guy. I would equate your role in the movie to the driving instructor. You just kind of went along with it. You were there for the ride. You weren't really made fun of, but you were given the opportunity, but because you didn't open your mouth and say anything really stupid.
He was trying to get me to do stuff. Sitting inside the Hummer, I wouldn't fall into some of the things that he wanted me to fall into.
So he's been on the Ali G show. I'm wondering, you said he was at your dealership between 2 and 3 hours. Was anybody hip to this guy, or did he?
Happened is they kept everybody away while they were filming.
Right.
They wouldn't let anybody near this guy. And most of the filming was done between the Hummers and inside the Hummer.
Now, Jim, I've read that he has never laundered that suit. That he wears when he does Borat.
I don't know. He had this. Cheap...
Was he offensive smelling?
No, he had this real cheap cologne on, something that we had back in the '60s.
and Jim, obviously you're a local celeb now because of this.
And you're going to be a bigger celebrity after this weekend because I think the movie's going to explode.
Are you selling any cars? Are you getting?
People stopping in to say hi. And some people come in Saturday, said they saw the movie and they wanted to come up and meet me. But other than that, I mean, I still got the $150 that I made for doing the movie.
So we got you right up to the point where you were nervous going into the movie. What was your take on the movie after you saw yourself?
I was relieved after it was over. I'd hate to be in the shoes of some of the other people who were in the movie.
Yeah.
Some of the other people just hung themselves. I thought, oh, my gosh, if I was in their shoes, I.
You know, hey, Jim, I want to say something to you. I'm really glad to hear you say that they hung themselves because... Like in any of those situations with the dinner, with the wiping and the bathroom, any of those people could have stood up and said, you know, "This is outrageous. Get out of my house. You're nuts."
Exactly. You know,
but they didn't.
I would have thrown him out when he brought the bag of poop downstairs.
You were very, very cool in the movie, and I think you're going to find that you become more popular, as Mike said.
Oh, there is no question.
This weekend.
We're already stalkers of this film. And, Jim, really, you don't come across as anybody that's just, you know, you're doing your job. And the funniness is just the negotiation, the negotiating process that he goes through. I'm curious, when they got done, when they wrapped it up, was there anything that was said to you? Was there anything that would give you a clue that this was going to be something other than what they had billed it as?
Nothing at all.
Wow. Nothing at all.
Actually, when they were negotiating, some of the parts they cut off is he offered me $1,600 for a $70,000 Hummer. I said, how much? He says, I'll give you $1,600 for the truck. I said, sir, how much money is that in your country? He says, no, that's money in your country. I said, sir, you can't buy a $70,000 Hummer for $1,600. But then he offers to go to his truck and give me some dried meats from his country. And I said, sir, you can't do that. He says, all right, final offer. I'll give you the money, the dried meats, and you can have my sister. She's number four prostitute. I said, sir, you can't do that.
Oh, my God. Are you going to go see it again, Jim?
I had some people back up in Western Maryland, Cumberland area, that where I grew up, that want to go this weekend with me. And
you got to go, Jim.
Yeah.
But I guess when the more you see it, the more you pick up, because when he talks to you, a lot of stuff you don't understand. And,
right.
You know what's
great about this?
You're good, Jim.
We're such fans of this movie, and you are so real, Jim. You are so real, and that just makes me want to run out and see this movie again because you just did what you did. And, you're probably not familiar with the Ali G show or anything that this guy's done before. And, we just think the guy's a genius.
One more for you, and then we'll let you go. So you do the thing, and you sign the release, and I'm sure a period of time goes by, you don't think about it.
Right.
When did you start seeing the ads or hearing about this movie Borat, and when did the light bulb go off saying, oh, my God, I'm involved in this movie that's a fake documentary?
Actually, it was in late August when FHM Magazine, the editor, called me and wanted to get a picture of me and do an article on me in FHM Magazine.
Okay, so.
And he told me that he saw the movie and interviewed me for about a half an hour over the phone.
So then you figured it out. What was your first thought?
I was just thinking, I thought maybe he put some stuff in that I didn't even say. I mean, I tried to cover myself as best as I could when I talked to him.
You know, Jim, you do sound like, you're so real, you sound so down to earth. Would you ever, obviously the guy paid you $150, the movie made $28 million last weekend. You ever think about maybe just, getting your particular area of the dealership, your office at the dealership, and getting the movie poster and putting pictures of yourself out there? Because I really do think that you'd be able to sell more cars.
Right.
That
would be a good idea.
No intention of doing that, huh?
No, I'm more laid back.
Jim, can I ask, how old are you, sir?
55.
So I'm guessing, do you have kids?
I have a daughter, Ashley. She's 21. She'll be 20.
Oh, my God. Now, you're going to be a hero.
Now, has your daughter seen you in the movie?
No, she's going to go this weekend.
I want to tell you something. You get ready, and I'm sure you've been a great dad your whole life, and I'm sure you've done everything the right way. But you wait until your daughter sees you in this film.
Yeah, because really, in that demographic, in that age
group, you're going to be king of the world.
Jim, I don't, listening to you, because you are down to earth, I really don't think it's hit you yet that, this movie did very well last weekend, but I really think it's going to be a phenomenon. We could be wrong, but I think we're really right about
it. From our moronic standpoint, it's maybe the funniest movie in the last 20 years.
It'll be remembered for years to come.
I think so. I really do. Are you ready to handle that, Jim?
I don't know. I'm more laid back, and I just think if I made that much money, I made $150, and that's, so.
You're a good sport, and we are glad to have you on the show. We'll give you a plug here. Criswell Hummer. Where are you guys at in Maryland?
It's Criswell Chevrolet and Hummer. I'm in the Chevy building where the big flag is on Quince Road.
Oh, sure, I know.
You're right up the street, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, very good, Jim.
And I sell Chevrolets and Hummers.
Very good. It's been great talking to you. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for the insight. And maybe we'll call you next week just to see what your daughter thought about it. Because
I'd love to.
My wife got a big kick out of it once I was off the my scene was over, because she was nervous. But once Connie got saw that it was, I handled myself okay, she felt a lot better.
And Jim, one thing without giving the movie away for anybody who hasn't seen it, and because we can't talk as explicitly as they do in that film. How about that scene in the bedroom? How about the same?
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Jim.
That's something special, isn't it, Jim?
Jim, is that not?
Unbelievable.
Is that, yeah, okay. Thank you.
You know, I mean, he singled you out, Jim, but at least you weren't a room full of mortgage bankers. That's for sure.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, good talking to you. Thank
nice
you for your time,
you.
Sir.
All right, bye-bye.
That's Jim Sell. He was the auto salesman in the Borat movie.
Very nice.
Oh,
very
my
nice.
God.
And I thought that was goddamn interesting to hear how
absolutely
they
fascinating. And then we have those, the questions answered. I mean, there are not many questions you can ask him. $150, sign this release, and bingo.
And no idea right. Until August, until does the guy from FHM calls him.
Doesn't that make you want to go see the movie again? I mean,
yes,
now because, I mean, obviously the thing with, you know, Pam Anderson was staged. And, I was telling Rob in the break, there's another scene in there that I wanted to get you, the hooker. I think she was on the joke, too.
She had to be because she was in too many scenes.
Right, exactly.
She was in too many scenes.
The guy is so unflappable.
But this guy is right. Jim Sell is right that he could have stepped on his D a million times. And if they were running tape on that guy for 3 hours, you know they were just trying to catch him in one of those moments like you did with the guys from the rodeo in Texas.
Exactly. The guy, rodeo guy.
Good for you, Jim. Yeah. Good awesome. Job.
Good job.
And Rob? Congratulations. We have for you a brand new, what is today, Wednesday?
Yes.
We have a brand new 2-day contract.
Hey, Robbie.
Get me into the weekend, right?
Ready to go.
I think it's really cool that they keep Borat isolated, last minute. Just, it's really terroristic filmmaking.
Yes. It's hysterical, though, the little subtle things where he gives him the pen.
With the KKK.
KKK. He gives him a Klan pen.
Oh, my God.
And making him stay outside the dealership. It's really cool.
There's a strategy.
Absolutely.
You know, he's done that much of it. There's got to be a strategy.
You've got to hide him. Because even though I had never seen Borat on the Ali G show, certainly are a lot of people like my kid, Bart, who's 21, who immediately said, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that character for, like, 3 years.
Right. Did you watch any of it on HBO last night?
Nah.
They had one of the funniest Borat episodes. He is in a country western bar, and he takes the stage, and he sings old Kazakhstan folk song, Throw the Jew Down the Well.
Very nice.
The crowd sings along.
Oh, sure.
It's a good program.
There's something about talking to that guy that now makes me more eager to see it a second time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I know that we always talk enthusiastically about stuff and that we never really do it. But it would be nice to go one day, all of us.
Yes.
And get effed up and go see that movie.
Yes. I love that idea.
Wouldn't it be a good idea one day?
I love that idea because this movie, don't you think this movie is going to explode this weekend?
Yeah,
I think it's going to be so big.
Man. Absolutely.
I really do.
The next time the Zephyr screws up and we can't do a show, we should just get drunk and go see Borat.
Yeah. Or the next time we get a little weather.
Yes.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
All right, well, thank you, Jim. So, we got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.